Welcome back to the podcast. On today's episode, it is Gabe Yanez and I. We are back on the mic. No guests today, just him and I rocking it, talking about all things fitness, family, life, maybe a little bit of business today. If this is your first time listening to the podcast, really appreciate you checking in. If this is your 100th time, I appreciate you being a fan of the podcast. Make sure to go back, check out the other episodes. And as per usual, if we give you value, if there's other value in other episodes from all the great guests we've had, I actually just re-listened to a show we did with Pete, the founder of Origin, this morning. And anyways, go back, check out those episodes and leave us a rating or review. Gabe, I'll start off with this. Is it weird to go back and listen to an episode that you recorded? Is that weird?
I was about to say, like, I respect the fact that you do it, but I just can't do it. And I don't know. It's like weird to hear myself talk. I think I'm also like very self-critical, which I think could be a good thing, right? Like, I think I can take a lot from going back, listening and seeing like maybe what we could do better. Better questions I could have asked, like things I could have articulated better. I know that there's a lot of good that I can probably get from going back, but it's like a little bit too uncomfortable of an experience for me. Like, I've tried to do it, or there's even been times recently where Ariel was listening to the Savan episode because she was really looking forward to that one, and she had it on in the car while we were there, and I was like, but anyway,
sometimes to listen to yourself, right? You're like, I should have said it a little bit differently.
And it's like 100% listening to myself. Like, I have no problem listening to other podcasts that you're on. I have no problem, obviously, listening to like things that our guests have been on. That's how we prep for the episodes when we have guests. So it's 100% like me. But anyway, I think that there's some value to going back and listening to yourself. I just am not good at doing it. I've tried. Yeah. Can't do it.
Well, I was listening to the Origin, and the reason for it is that the episode that we did with Pete, it was just a good reminder. I was going through some of my photos from a jiu-jitsu camp that I went to, and I happened to pull up a video of the loom that we were talking about. And so I saw the picture of the loom. I was like, oh shit. I was like, let me go back, check out this episode. So that's what I was doing this morning while hitting the sauna, and awesome, my cold plunge is still broken. What's that? Awesome. Yeah, it was awesome
episode.
Yeah, dude. Awesome episode. I wanted to tell you, so I was talking to you earlier before we started recording about this, this Nerf war. So
dude, I got to hear about this Caden's birthday party Nerf war situation.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a son, or daughter, who's like in the ages of like 7 to maybe 11, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, maybe a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger. Probably not younger. You know, you're kind of always looking for stuff to like do for birthday parties. And oftentimes, like, you know, a jumpy place, there's all kinds of stuff. So Caden this year really wanted to do paintball. That's what he wanted to do. And so it was his 10th birthday. He really wanted to do paintball and also get certified in scuba diving. That's separate. Because you have to be 10 here in the US to get like the type of certification that he wants. Anyways, so we're looking up places to paintball, and we couldn't find anywhere close to us that was available. Like, the closest place was like 45 minutes away. And Ashley thought that getting the kids over there, by the time, it was just like kind of a lot. And I was also worried that, man, dude, I mean, if you've never done paintball before, I was just worried these 10-year-olds were going to get nailed and just basically stop. So we ended up going with Nerf again. We did this last year. And so what they do is they have a guy come out, and Liz has pulled up the video of the Nerf. It's basically like, I don't know, what would that be? Like, they set up like a grass field, and they set up like air. They use, what's inflatable?
It's like, yeah, it's like the paintball obstacles. Like, if you ever see like competitive paintball, like this looks very similar to how they set up those fields.
Exactly. So it's just like inflatable, whatever. And they have like a guy out there who's like the guy, and he sets up the kids on different teams, and they play a bunch of games for like 2 hours. And these kids are like running around trying to shoot each other with Nerf guns, and they're wearing eye protection, but that's about it. And dude, it was cool, man. But man, so last year the guy was late, but he made it happen. This year it was supposed to
start. Guy?
No, different guy. The same company this year, dude. So it's like you know, you will know this feeling. And anybody listening to this, they know exactly the feeling. So you get all the kids. I pick up the kids from school. I bring them over. We set up pizza for them. Everybody's kind of eating. And we're getting ready to wait for the guy to show up to set up these inflatable things so we can go play Nerf. And he was supposed to be there at like, 1:30. He was supposed to be there ready to set up at 1:30. And so it's 1:25, not there. 1:30, not there. I'm like, oh. So we start calling the company. 1:40, not there. 1:50, not there. We still call, no answer. So then we start calling other people. Long story short, we end up getting a hold of somebody at the company. And they say, okay, we're going to send somebody else there, but it's going to take time. And they're not going to get there until like 2 o'clock or whatever it is, 2:15.
What happened to the original guy?
Dude, he just didn't show up. So this is the learning lesson, right? I mean, not the learning lesson. I'll tell you the real learning lesson in a second, but the original guy, he's probably like, oh, you know, I don't feel like going to work today. I'm not going to go. But what he doesn't realize, man, is he's letting a bunch of kids down. And like these kids were like really looking forward to this. And like they're sitting there waiting. And I'm like, oh yeah, dude, the guy's showing up. You know, you're trying to hype it up. Like, yeah, this guy's going to be great, blah, blah. And he doesn't show up. And it's a good example that if you're a young professional listening to this, you don't have kids and you think the work you do is just like a job. It isn't, especially for kids. Like it means something when you don't show up and it lets a lot of people down, not just yourself. And that goes, there's kind of an analogy for coaching, right? I remember when I would show up late for class coaching every blue moon or maybe even like miss a class or whatever. Dude, I would feel so bad because you were not respecting people's time. They got up early, they were trying to do whatever. But those were adults and we got through it. With the kids, man, it's a whole different reaction. So anyways, we end up, I look at Ashley, I'm like, hey, we need a plan B. And so I'm like, all right, can we go home, grab Nerf guns on our own? We're trying to think about our plan B. Turns out one of the people there, we had a football in the car. So I ended up just playing tackle football. I ended up kicking the ball, or they ended up kicking it to me or whatever. And then they were all trying to tackle me. And we did this for like 30 minutes and they got their mind off the fact that the dude wasn't there. But it was a good analogy of like why we train to protect and provide is like, if I didn't have the fitness and the capability to like run around with these kids for 45 minutes while we waited for this guy to show up or an hour, like that would have been a miss. I stepped up to try and entertain them. And it was a good why of why I train. And it was a perfect example. And I wanted to share it here.
I think there's a couple things there. So I think thing number one that stands out to me also is based on your telling of it. And also just based on the fact that I know you, I know how like non-ideal the situation was and how, you know, for lack of a better word, stressed out you probably were, like, where is this guy, these kids or whatever. But I'm sure that you also like never like, you didn't lose your cool. You probably weren't like screaming on the phone, cursing this company out, you know, but the thing is, here's the thing. Like there's a lot of dudes out there that would have that reaction because it isn't ideal. You're upset. These kids are like, you know, obviously like getting anxious. You're getting anxious. And I think that not only are you able to pivot, grab the football, like, you know, do something to get these kids' minds off, but you also like are reacting in a way to a non-ideal situation that I think sets a really good example for these kids to like control their emotions and not control their emotions. We talked about this on the other podcast of like not feeling the way you feel, like super not ideal situation. You're upset, you're frustrated, but like, what's the appropriate way for you to react to that in that moment? I know, because I know you, you did a good job of showing that. And I think that that's another reason why we train, right? Like we train, we get uncomfortable in the gym because then we can handle these like even small adversities in life, adversities.
Yeah.
In life, because in the grand scheme of things, this guy showing up an hour late, not a big deal, right? Like you take a step back and you're like, dude, like whatever. But having said that, it's the perfect situation, like the perfect example of something that would have set somebody off to have a reaction that they very much wouldn't be proud of in retrospect because it's not a big deal. And I think that it takes a certain amount of training and a certain amount of like having it together to be able to react the way that you did, which was, okay, this isn't ideal. Okay, what's our plan B? Execute on that plan B, but still figure out a solution, still call, still make sure, you know, stuff happen so that someone is coming eventually, because eventually you guys did play Nerf guns. So anyway, I think that that's a valuable kind of takeaway. And then the second thing is, regardless of whether like you're disappointing kids or you're disappointing adults or whatever, I think one of the biggest things that I see young people now not doing enough of is just taking pride in doing a good job, regardless of who your job like impacts, period. Like, there's a lot of this, and I've seen this with some, you know, like kind of like family members or people that I'm close to, where there's this like, I'll work hard and really care once I have the job that matters, right? Like right now I'm kind of like in between jobs. Like I want to do, you know, software engineer, for example, but working over here, you know, just kind of trying to make ends meet at a bar or whatever. But because that's not like my thing, like I don't have to show up on time. It's not a big deal if I like do my best work, like whatever, but I will once I get the real job, the quote unquote real job, right? And I think that that's such a miss, because, you know, these habits like showing up on time, giving your best effort, you know, having the soft skills, you have to train those things as well. And if you're not doing those when you just have the job where like, hey, part-time you set up Nerf parties for kids, you're not going to have that when you get hired for that job that you've been looking for all the time. You should be doing those things now, regardless of what's at stake, disappointing kids, disappointing parents, whatever, because how you do, we say this all the time, how you do anything is how you do everything. And I think that that's another piece that's missing from especially just like younger generations now, is like, don't wait for the quote unquote real job to do a good job. Do a good job regardless of what you're doing, and you'll do that much better once you're in a position that you actually want to be in.
Yeah, you'll keep getting better and better. I had a question from one of my friends yesterday, actually at the event. She doesn't really understand like the podcast game. Like, she was just asking me about podcasts. I was like, yeah, the way it works is like, and I kind of used the mind pump analogy, where like, they wanted to get as good as possible, as fast as possible. And so they were doing 5 episodes a week, every week for like years, because they knew the more episodes they did, the more conversations like this you and I have, the better you get at this particular skill set. But you have to train it, you have to practice it. And that same analogy goes for like whatever else you're doing. Like whatever you're doing, if you could train it, it'll improve over time. But if you're just kind of like, you know, if we just jumped on these things and like, you know, we're winging it or whatever, we didn't, you know, we come in with a plan, we talk about things we want to talk about, we set these things up, we're getting better and better and better every week about these discussions, that's the only way that you're going to be able to improve. So it's a good analogy for the podcast game, because that's something we're really focused on right now.
100%. Like, we've significantly, and I hope people have noticed this, like really like revamped our effort to like, to prepare, to have a plan, to improve the audio, improve the video, improve the backgrounds that we have. Like, you know, we're constantly trying to improve those things. And I think that it would be a shame if we were like, well, when we get to X amount of downloads, like once we have this big show, like then we'll really like, you know, put that effort in. Because if you don't put the effort in before, when you have 100 subscribers, you're never going to get to the point where you have whatever your end goal is.
Dude, did you see Sal Frizzella? So I'm a big Sal Frizzella fan, and
Sal Frizzella podcast. Love Sal.
Yeah. He's the president of First Form. And the other day he was online, and he does a lot of like motivational type stuff. And he was talking about, so I've been out to First Form a few times, and they have these buildings that they built in St. Louis. And he said that he just had like a board meeting or whatever it was with his brother and their partners or whatever. And they were talking about their journey to 2 billion. Right. I don't know if that's evaluation. I don't know if that's, in either case, it's probably evaluation. And he said something that I thought was really interesting. He's like, because he at the time had like a pretty high paying sales job, left that to then start First Form with his brother, where they had like the supplement superstores. They had like brick and mortar, and they decided to go all in on this First Form. And he was sharing his story. He's like, look, dude, I am more confident in our ability to get from 1 billion or whatever it is to 2 billion than I was for us to get from nothing to, you know, a million or whatever it is. And he's like, but you got to start, and then you just got to keep getting after it, and then your confidence continues to build. He said it much better than that, but it was interesting. He's like, I'm more confident us getting to 2 billion than I was for us to get to a million, you know, but you got to put in the, it fired me up. So you won't be able to find it though. It was on one of his stories, not his post.
Yeah, man. I mean, there's so much truth to that, in that, you know, the beginning steps are so much steeper, But then once you get going, once you get that momentum, like it just kind of compounds on itself. But a lot of people, and we've talked about this in the past with sports examples, business examples, whatever, a lot of people, like those big steep first steps, like a lot of people are like, dude, this is too much. And then they just stop.
That's what it was. That's what he was trying to make a point of.
Little do you know, like if you stick out that first little bit, like if you go from zero to whatever in revenue, and again, like I know not everyone listening is an entrepreneur, but I think that this, you know, is an analogy for parenting, for growth as you know, an athlete, a man, whatever. It's tough in the beginning to make the first couple changes if you're trying to make some changes. But dude, once you get moving, like the momentum builds and you also create a hedge to where fitness, for example, I can have something happen, injury, like get super busy, whatever, where like I have to take a month and not do much or not follow a program as closely as I'd like to. And I'll still be in a really good place after those 30 days to where I can just pick back up and still be ahead of like 99% of people because I've built a hedge and because it's just been something that I'm in a place where I can go back to it easier, so on and so forth. So the analogy applies to everything, but you know, the big
including Bitcoin. I just want to make a, for those people who are not keeping up on cryptocurrency. So I've been out of the cryptocurrency game for a while since we had Cheddar. Remember that podcast we did with Ben Alderman talking about Cheddar? Dude, so good, right? If you haven't gone back and listened to the episode with Ben Alderman, he turned me on to a cryptocurrency called Cheddar, which was like going bananas and then went zero. But the reason why I brought up Bitcoin is because I wasn't really paying attention to it for a while. I kind of like was like, hey, look, I'm going to invest a little bit and like let it sit because unlike the stock market, it could be something that's super addictive because it's always on. There is no hours of it. But dude, I don't know if you know, but Bitcoin hit like an all-time high of like 73,000 like a couple of weeks ago. And now it's at 63,000. So I just wanted to like kind of bring that up for the audience. If you have not been paying attention to crypto, which I hadn't for a while, dude, Bitcoin and in general, Ethereum kind of follows it, skyrocketed the last like couple of months. Now is down a little bit, but it's still like super, super high. So I wanted to kind of bring it to people's attention if they hadn't been paying attention at all. Because I was out of the game.
Jay, you're the best, man. That reminds me of one of the things that we talked about this on the last episode, but I wrote it down, man, because I think it's so true. And now you bringing up Bitcoin just absolutely remind me of it. But
How about Cheddar?
Dude, the Scott Galloway podcast that we were talking about last episode, you know, he was talking a lot about how like young men are struggling now. And it's something I've been thinking a lot about, A, because you know, I have a son and I think about him a lot, think about him growing up, and you just want the best for your kids, right? And so I think that really looking at all the things that have made being a young guy right now so tough, I think it's just important to be aware of so you can kind of get in front of it. But one of the things that he said on that podcast was that, you know, a big problem now with everything digital is that, you know, men think that Reddit and Discord are their friends and community. Crypto and Robinhood is a real job. And, you know, YouPorn is having a relationship, you know, that was like his exact sentence. It was just saying how like all these things aren't the real versions of what it used to be. Like you might have all these people that you follow and interact with on Reddit forums and Discord servers that you're talking to constantly, but like, that's not a real community. That's not real friends. That's not real connections. You know, you might be, you know, investing in all these like cryptos and looking it out every day. And to your point, like it does get addictive if you're trying to do this on the day to day. And everyone has this like hope that like the next thing that they invest in is going to be the thing that like takes them over the top. But that's not a real job. Like, are you really building skills or are you just being taken advantage by this system that like takes advantage of the fact that like, hey, you know, GameStop stock is going to be the thing that like, you know, solves all your problems. And then obviously the whole porn thing, you know, it's like, you're not going out there and going through the difficulty of like dating and meeting someone and rejection and like what it takes to like, you know, be attractive to women because you can scratch that itch at the ease of going on the internet. And I think it was interesting, man, because like all of those things weren't really a thing when I was growing up. I know that weren't really a thing when you were growing up. And
nope. Pogs were a thing when I was growing up.
That's right. If no one listened to the last episode, I don't know what pogs are. But yeah, man, I think he just broke it down so simply to like those three things being, you know, and you can lump in social media to like the Reddit Discord thing. But that was an impactful thing that I think he said that opened my eyes to a lot of the things that are making it super difficult for young men to like experience real life, like real friends, real physical relationships, and like real skills and a real job. The other thing that went into the whole crypto Robin Hood thing is like, dude, sports betting is out of control now.
One of the players got like banned for life for betting on his.
Yeah, he was betting on basketball. Yeah, there's been a couple controversies. There's been that. There's been the Shohei Ohtani. His interpreter. Yeah. Dude, his interpreter. The amount of bets that he made. Anyway, but yeah, all this stuff, dude, is so accessible. It's so addictive, and everything promises you like, you know, the easy way to get the thing that should actually take a lot of hard work, right? Like financial success, you know, finding a partner and having friends. Like those three things shouldn't be easy. Like they should require like a lot of work and setting yourself up to be the right partner, to be someone that's, you know, making friends, to be someone that has skills that on the market can make money. But everyone's looking for the thing that like, yeah, if I get this like investment right, like that's all I need.
You know, it's an interesting test case. So I was listening to that podcast with Scott Galloway on Rich Roll. And he was talking about, he said something about men being emotional. He was comparing women and men and like men and women that don't have like, correct me if I'm wrong, like a boy that grows up without a dad and but who grows up with a mom or a woman who grows up without a mom or a dad. He was comparing how like women are more resilient mentally than actually men are. Do you know which part I'm talking about? Like he didn't say it just like that, but he's basically saying that women do better than boys do when they don't have those people in their lives. Do you know which part I'm talking about? Or am I tripping?
No. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he talks about how like men are physically stronger, but women are like mentally more resilient, and that like those are just like very clearly, you know, researched and identifies just general themes that make one stronger than the other. So yeah, like boys, if boys grow up without dads, like that tends to be really bad for boys. It isn't ideal for daughters, but it's not as bad. Like they don't need the male role model as much as like young men do. Like they can deal with not having that stuff a little bit better. But it's really tough for boys to grow up without, you know, a father figure, because I think that's another thing that he mentioned is that, you know, that's not to say that they need to have like their biological dad present. Obviously that's ideal, but not having like a strong male role model figure, like that's important. That could be a stepdad, that could be a coach, that could be, you know, a pastor, that could be many things, but having that tends to be one of the leading indicators of them, you know, not getting into trouble, not having behavioral issues, being successful financially, so on and so forth.
Well, so pulling on that thread, this was interesting. So last night I'm at the school for a chaperone meeting for an upcoming science camp. And it was four parents for like 19 kids. So there's not that many kids, right? But there's two parents. So a friend and I, and then two women, and the women are responsible for the girls. Him and I are responsible for the boys, and there's nine boys and like whatever, nine girls, something like that. And we were sitting there and we were discussing that this summer camp, or not summer camp, science camp, they're going to be for many of these kids who are in fourth grade, it'll be the first time that they're sleeping over, potentially not at their house. Definitely not that far away for most of them, right? And they haven't been away from their parents.
And this is 10 year olds, right? What grade?
Fourth grade. So like 9 or 10 year old. So for many of these kids, it's their first time sleeping over that far away for sure. Maybe even the first time sleeping over ever, right? You know, and all kids kind of go at different paces there. but we're discussing what we need to look out for as chaperones, right? And I'm thinking like, dude, I just got to make sure these kids don't act out. I got to, you know, do whatever. I'm just kind of thinking through my mind, like what I could do to support. But as we're talking, the teacher's like, hey, so we need to discuss who on our list might have issues at night and how we could address them. And so what she was saying is like, if, for example, one of the children that you're responsible for comes to you and says, hey, I need to go home. I can't be here, or is crying or whatever. What type of tools can we use to like deflect them so that it doesn't start like a snowball effect where one kid, let's just say everybody's having fun, then one kid kind of starts to feel a certain way. Then all of a sudden they say, I miss my parents. I need to call them. And then all of a sudden I give them the phone. Then they call them. It feeds into it. Then another kid starts thinking it. Another kid starts thinking it. And so we were talking about what strategies we can impart to like deflect the attention from this to like more being centered and playing games or reading a book or whatever we could do at night before they go to bed. That's typically on the first night, they say, is the hardest night. So as we're having this conversation, and obviously for the record, if one of the kids strongly needed to talk to their parent or go home, of course we would take care of it. We're just trying to find a way to push that out like an hour and see if it gets past it. But as we're talking, we're saying, who do we think emotionally is going to have an issue with it? And out of the 19 kids, we did not mention, no one mentioned a girl. It was only boys who were brought up in terms of us thinking they're going to have a problem and we need to be able to address it. So isn't that interesting? I thought that was like exactly what we were talking about. Like how women, like they're resilient. They're emotionally strong. Like they're, but this was a perfect example. It just happened last night.
And this is the second time that I've heard that is a reason why they're like really encouraging now to hold boys back a year. Yes, I know we talked about this in the past and you were talking about it more from like a, you know, sports perspective. Yeah, redshirting them. But I've heard this now from multiple people that holding boys back a year just gives them a year to catch up because they do just develop at different speeds. And I'm actually super curious. I've been talking to this a lot with Ariel because we're literally going to have a girl that's going to be 15 months behind our boy. So it's going to be interesting to see them grow up together because, you know, based on everything I've read, like they're almost going to like be at exactly the same place, even though she's going to be the younger sister. So how that dynamic plays out will just be interesting. But yeah, I'm curious how many people are starting to do that now. Because what he brings up in the podcast too, is there was a while where like getting your kids into school was like the space race. It was like, you wanted anything, you wanted them to skip grades. You were like, how can like you get your child to be like three grades above like what his age is? And it seems now in retrospect that at least specifically for boys is doing more harm than good. And there is like the pendulum swinging in the opposite direction now where I've heard on multiple different like podcasts and books, this idea of like holding boys back a year, not for the sports reason, but literally because it just takes them a year to like develop a little bit more and they'll be better off having that extra time before they go into school.
Yeah. I just thought that was a really good first person, like,
yeah, no, that's super interesting. That's super interesting because you guys didn't go into that meeting and that conversation with this context. You were literally just like, all right, let's go through a list of names and see who would be more likely to need help. And yeah, it's interesting that ended up being, you know, exclusively boys.
Like, it was all boys. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to ask you a question. If you weren't a chaperone, any hesitation, any problem with Caden going on this trip, spending the night, if you weren't going, if you weren't one of the chaperones?
That's a good question. I don't know if, I mean, obviously, you know, it's uncomfortable because your kid's gone for a couple of days, whatever. I would just say that if life was completely normal, I'd say absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, Ava's been gone for now 9 weeks. And so things are, you know, a little bit different in the house. But I'd say in general, no, because he's been exposed and he's stayed at other people's houses before. And we've had those exposures, but for a child who's never stayed at another person's house or hasn't had that type of exposure, like it's a big difference. And I think it's good. You know, it's a good environment where you could be with your friends. And like, the more we talked about it, like I'm excited for this summer camp. I think it's going to be a really cool chance for them to learn about some California history and also like do things that are going to get them a little bit outside their comfort zone. So I'm stoked. I don't think there would be too much hesitation for me. But the fact that I'm actually picked as a chaperone, I feel a lot of stress there, man, because I want to be the guy who like provides these kids like a really cool experience that they look back on like, hey, that chaperone, like doing the best I can. But I also don't want to, you know, we got to make sure we respect the rest of the camp. We can't be up all night going crazy. I was thinking about doing a, I was thinking about like embracing my inner Jocko Willick and like doing like a morning PT, like being the guys in the morning outside our campsite doing like morning burpees, but maybe not, maybe not. That might be a little over the top.
You totally should in general. And I, like you said, I know that, you know, right now circumstances are a little different, but in general, what is you and Ashley's stance on sleepovers with the kids in terms of like, what is Ava allowed to do? What is Caden allowed to do? Is it just family? Is it friends? I'm genuinely curious.
I mean, I think that's a good question too. I think that every kid kind of grows at their own pace and has to figure out, you know, what they're comfortable with. I think as a parents, I think encouraging them to stay at their family's house, I think is a good thing at an early age to get comfortable not only being at home. And every parents are going to have to discuss that. But like for us, you know, our circumstances were a little bit different. You know, we spent many, many nights in the hospital with Ava. And so our son spent months with my parents. So it was just different. That being said, like, let's just assume all of that wasn't the case. I think letting them spend the night with your family, I think is a great first step. People you trust, people you know. And then once they get comfortable staying at somebody else's house, then you start identifying parents and kids that you know really well. So like our kids have not stayed at anybody's house that we don't know the parents really well. And in particular, in general, we're apprehensive if they have older siblings. So if, and this is right, wrong, or indifferent, right? Like if she wanted to stay at a girlfriend's house that had an older boy sibling, we would be apprehensive about that.
Apprehensive, even, but it's not like a no. It's not a no
as long as we know the parents really well. I think that getting to know the parents, understanding their core values, what they will accept and what they won't accept is the key. Because like the last thing we want to do is put our kids in a position where they feel uncomfortable for any reason. That could be super extreme cases that we all know what I'm talking about, or it could be just minor cases. But I think that knowing the parents helps us avoid our kids feeling uncomfortable, but it's something that they need to explore, right? Like we need to get to a point where like they can't, maybe they could just be at family's house for a while and maybe they don't create friendships with any families that you connect with, but I think it's healthy to find other friends and then find ways to have them sleep at the house. I think that's a healthy thing to explore, but it's got to be the right people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. And it's one of those things that is very, a very obviously personal decision from family to family. And like, you know, you just have to be on the same page. I grew up and I remember this so vividly because it used to fucking drive me nuts. But my mom, and this is like a very like, you know, kind of like Latin American culture, Latin culture, I think, but like sleepovers are like a no-go. Like it's just, it's not a thing that you do. I was never allowed to do it. There was no exceptions. Like it didn't matter. You don't do it. And it's like, it's seen as like weird and intrusive and inappropriate. And it's just like not done. And it was like a big point of contention, especially growing up when like kids were doing sleepovers. I was like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's how I grew up. And now, you know, it's obviously different because, you know, we're so young. We don't even really have like a circle of like their friends yet. So it's not something we've had to consider. But we did for the first time, Shay spent the night with my parents specifically in preparation for like, you know, if Ariel goes to labor, you know, overnight next week, like it's not going to be ideal for him to be here at home. You know, he should be with my parents. So, We did that and that went well. And I think that was more, it was more of a like us being comfortable than him because we have our parents so close. Like he's grown up spending so much time with them. Like he loves being at grandpa's house, my dad specifically. So that went well, but it was something that we almost had to do so that the first time we did it wasn't when we had to do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think like for us, like, you know, my kids are older and it's like, when they ask, like, I think having, like our hard set rule for Ash and I, it's pretty straightforward, is like, if we don't know the parents well, you're not staying at their house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just,
which
it's
makes
just,
sense.
Yeah. Like if we've never had a meal with those parents, you're not staying at their house. If we've had a meal, a couple of meals, we've learned their, understand their values. And again, it's because we want to be able to protect the kids and make sure they're never put in a situation. And dude, so that's and drawing a line in the sand like that was really early on for us. And it was like super basic, dude. We just said that to the kids, like, hey, if we don't have a relationship with the parents, you can't stay at their house. And so then if they want to eventually stay at somebody's house, then we would just have to get to know the parents better. And that's it. And it just took some time. No, but it wasn't a no, right? It wasn't like with your mom, and you know, it was, and I think for that reason, I think it was a good balance for us.
Yeah. All right, guys, we're taking a break from the podcast to talk to you about the most exciting thing that we've launched at Train Hard in a while. And that is the Train Protect Provide collection that is now live on the Train Hard shop. If you've been listening to the podcast or reading our emails, you've heard us talk about these three words, train, protect, provide. These are the three pillars that are at the foundation of everything we're trying to do here at Train Hard. Train, pretty self-explanatory. We train hard to be prepared for anything life is going to throw our way. Protect, it's not about going out there and looking for trouble. It's just about being ready in the case that trouble finds us. And then provide, which is probably the most meaningful one for me, isn't just about putting food on the table. It's not just about providing financially, but it's about being there and being present and being this force of stability for your family at all times and providing anything that they need at any time. And that's something that I aspire to do every single day as a dad and a husband. And I know it's something that's super important to Jay as well. So we're super excited to now have Train Protect Provide on some awesome, awesome apparel. The team took so much time to pick out some t-shirts, some crew necks, and some hoodies that are a little different than what we've done in the past, but are different in a really good way in that they are so comfortable and super versatile that you can work out in them or you can wear them out and they are gonna look great. So go to the shop right now, the Train Hard Shop, check out the Train Protect Provide collection. And since you're listening to this on the podcast, use code podcast and that'll get you free shipping. So head over to the shop, check it out, but let's get back to the show. I wanna talk about something that happened recently. I got a text message and you'll be pumped about this actually. So I gotta give a shout out to my boy, Pat, who listens to the podcast. He's an old friend from CrossFit Garden City who just took up Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Ooh. Because like he listens to the podcast, you got him fired up on it. You know, he's an awesome, awesome guy.
Did
one of the guys,
it's been incredible for him or what? Did he say he started Jiu-Jitsu because he was like listening to this?
Yes.
Dude, I love it. Let's go.
So it's awesome. He used to be one of the coaches and really, really, I mean, we're still really good friends, but one of like my OG good friends at the CrossFit gym where I started. Awesome coach. And, you know, had two kids, kind of fell off a little bit, was finding a way to get back into it. And yeah, ended up joining a BJJ gym that just opened. But here's the really cool part of the story. So shout out to Pat. He's awesome. The cool part of the story is that he texted me the other day and he said that he just finished like, you know, the nighttime class, puts on his Train Hard shirt because he's heading out. And some other guy in class comes up to him and he's like, dude, like I follow the Flex program. It's the best pumps that I get. And that guy is actually Customs and Border Protection.
Yes.
Guy. So it's just so cool, man. Like, A, because they talk specifically about Flex, I was super pumped. I know you'd be pumped because this is a guy that's been like listening to the podcast and got into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and is now like really, really loving it and really appreciating how much he's learning. And what he told me last time, because every now and then I will text him and like, I want an update for him. I live vicariously through his like journey as like a complete beginner in BJJ, because I just haven't found the circumstances or the guts to go try it myself. But anyway, the last update he gave me was that his body's like really starting to like adjust to like how beat up he felt in the beginning. And that's been like a really nice hurdle to be past. Whereas in the beginning, he just felt like he was getting mangled every time. Part of like understanding it better and being better about what he's doing. And part of it just, you know, the fact that he's getting some reps in, he feels like now he's just like less beat up every time he goes, and is really starting to enjoy it. But anyway, I wanted to share that story with you because I knew you'd appreciate the fact that he joined, but also the fact that like people are talking about the programs that we put out and the brand in the wild. Like, this isn't like, you know, Los Gatos, California, Train Hard Men's Club guys that like know you and have spent time with you, whatever. This is like Long Island, New York. Yes, it's a place that I've been in the past, and that's kind of why, you know, Pat listened to the podcast and started, but it's just cool to see stuff like that so maybe far away from like our epicenter, because, you know, it makes it real, man. People are doing this stuff. People are using the app. They're loving the brand. They're getting into BJJ gyms, which I know you want. So I knew you'd appreciate that story, so I want to share it with you.
Dude, I'm all about, you know, if you're listening, I had someone ask me a question. If I'm over 40, can I start jiu-jitsu? Yes. If you're over 50, yes. I just saw online that an 80-year-old got his black belt. And dude,
that's
and
gonna,
the reason
that's gonna be me. Ate,
what's that?
That's gonna that's be you? Me. I'm gonna be and an 80-year-old black belt.
When he got his black belt, he gave a speech. And I don't know if I could find it. It was like this guy, I believe he was like a older. Maybe he was Korean. I don't know. He was a gentleman, like an older gentleman. He had kids when he was in his like 50s, I want to say. And he had his kids. No, maybe he was like even 60s. I don't know. It was later in life. And he gets them. He takes them in for their first jiu-jitsu class. And it was at that moment he said to himself, like, dude, if I don't do this, I won't be able to keep up with them. And that's unacceptable. And so then he started jiu-jitsu when they did, but like the boys, I think he had two boys, they're like four and he was 60. Sure enough, 20 years later or whatever it was, I might be exaggerating, 10, 15 years later, he got his black belt. And it, you could start jiu-jitsu at any point. And I'm confident if you listen to this podcast and you have the same goals that I do to train, to protect, to provide, to have no second chances, to just level up and be the best example we could be for our kids, jiu-jitsu is a good avenue for you. And you should be doing a bunch of other shit. But jiu-jitsu, there's something special about when you grapple with someone, learning the skills and learning how to control yourself that no other, you know, nothing else can really teach me as far as I'm concerned. But shout out to Pat. Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Shout out to Pat. And I think actually we'll keep giving Pat a shout out because I think I'm 90% sure I just saw his order come in for the rash guard. So, you know, he's going to be rocking the Train Hard rash guard. So, Patty Mac, man.
If you haven't seen the videos, we are launching a American made through our friends over at Origin. We already talked about Pete on this episode, Train Hard rash guard. This rash guard, I'm telling you, it's guaranteed to make you 10% better at jiu-jitsu. So that's a joke. Don't fucking send us like a lawsuit or something. Like, that was a joke. But you are going to look 10% better. That's for damn sure.
More than 10%. Come on.
You're going to look 30%. It makes you look 30% more jacked. If you wear the Train Hard rash guard and you do flex programming, you're guaranteed to show up differently when you walk out of that gym.
Let me ask you a question. If I don't do Brazilian jiu-jitsu, can I still buy and use the rash guard, or is that like such a poser move? Is it like,
no, dude, you could totally do it.
Like, all right, good, because I will.
Bro, you know, you should, you could, because you could still rock it and, you know, just hit your workouts in it. You could go swim, right? It's a rash guard, so you can like go surf in it. You can do whatever and you can still rock it, but it's definitely supposed to be used for jiu-jitsu for sure.
Oh man, here's another. So another story that I had that I really want to share with you, and you'll appreciate this, is so here in Texas where we moved, we kind of have like the first group of friends that we made, because when we came here, we like wanted to start the farm. We were selling pork at the farmer's market. So we made a lot of these like homesteading, like farm kind of family friends, really cool network of people. Now we have like our aftermath strength, like fitness community. And it's funny because both communities are like very, very different, but like we're very much a part of both and really enjoy the friends that we've made. But anyway, so I get the emails from one of these farms that sells at the farmer's market that we used to sell at, and they're now selling sourdough. So they used to, they've always done like meat.
Yes.
And so they've always done meat. They've always done eggs. They've always done turkey. But then I got this email that they're starting to do sourdough. And then a note said that it's actually their 11-year-old daughter who's starting, took an interest in sourdough, and she's the one baking everything and selling it. And dude, I got so fired up about this like kid. So I emailed them back immediately, and I was, cause it was pre-order only. And I was like, put me down for like a loaf and a dozen. Dude, she's making sourdough chocolate chip cookies. Think about how good that's going to be. So I was like,
I know how good that's going to be. It's going to be great.
So I was like, put me down for a loaf and a dozen cookies. And then Zach, the dad, emailed me back, and he was like, yeah, man, Esther's such a go-getter. She's doing this. She started this like little sourdough business because she's saving up because she wants to buy a horse. And I was like, dude, I was so pumped up, man, because that's like, it's so much of what we talk about and like what, like, you know, Matt Boudreau and like, you know, that whole way of educating kids is about. And it's like, kids just being like entrepreneurial when like they want something, like she really wants this horse. She's going to work for it. She knows her parents sell at farmer's market. She took an interest in sourdough and she's going to do this and earn enough money. So I immediately emailed him back and I was like, dude, put me down for 3 loaves of sourdough because I'm going to buy one for my family and Ariel's. I love that stuff, man. I love, like, that's what I ideally look forward to in my kids having, you know, like really wanting to earn the things that they want and finding creative ways that also fire up their creative passions to like go out and get after it. So anyway, dude, I just thought that was a really cool story.
Sourdough is not easy, man. I got a sourdough starter and I tried to do it. And then I just lost focus and attention. Fancy that, right? Like, dude, I had a sourdough starter in the refrigerator and,
focus.
Dude,
that's perfect.
It's hard, man. It's hard.
And at least based on the picture, it was scored and everything. It looked really cool. So I'll give you an update on how good the sourdough is, but that was just a feel good story that I wanted to share. And honestly, an inspiration of like what I hope to instill on my kids, when they want something and want to earn something and they find like creative entrepreneurial ways to like get it done. Think there's just so, and she's 11, dude. So anyway.
Well, hey, we have a new, when this releases, is there going to be a new flex cycle?
So this releases when we're starting a week 5 of 6 of the current cycle. So there's going to be 2 weeks left. So depending on when you listen to this, it's either going to be 2 weeks away or a little bit less, but the reason I wanted to talk about it was I'm 4 weeks ahead of what's on the app. So I'm currently testing like week 1 now. And I've been going down a bunch of rabbit holes on how to, get creative with some different rep schemes and stuff. And I've been loving all the feedback that Flex has been getting. It seems like there's a lot of people following it like for a while, like since the app dropped in January. So it almost like gave me this like renewed sense of responsibility to like get creative and mix things up a little bit, make sure that this stuff never gets boring. So there's some fun stuff coming on this flex cycle that starts May 13th, particularly how we're gonna, cause we always alternate between having like a hypertrophy biased 6-week cycle, which is what we're on now, and then a strength bias hypertrophy cycle. And so one of the things that I've seen come up time and time again is that like 25 reps is the sweet spot for building strength. Like you want to hit 25 quality reps, whether that's a 5x5. That's why like the 5x5 is such a like, you know, old school traditional, like if you just want to go in and get better at back squatting, do 5 sets of 5 reps at a good weight. And like, that's a good session. So take like building on this principle of like 25 being this like sweet spot to build strength. We're going to be focusing on the bench press, the back squat, and the weighted pull-up actually. And the way we're going to progress through 6 weeks is you'll do 5x5 the first 2 weeks, with the goal being that week 2 should be a little heavier than week 1. But then we're going to go to 6x4. And the thinking there is I should be able to do more weight for a set of 4 versus a set of 5 because it's a smaller set, but you're still hitting that like around 25 rep total in the session, but you should be doing it with something heavier. You're going to do that for 2 weeks. So you should do the second 6x4 heavier than the first 6x4. And then we're going to do 8x3. Same thinking. Like I can do more for 3 than I can do for 4. So it's also just psychologically you go into the gym knowing that, okay, I can go heavier today because I don't have to grind out 4 reps. I only have to do 3. Yes, it's going to be more sets, but it kind of sets you up to really be able to do what is at the foundation of building strength and muscle, which is progressive overload week over week. So it's just a really nice way over 6 weeks to continue to put more and more weight onto these movements and still do the same amount of work, 25 or 24 reps. So that's how the 6 weeks in the functional strength is going to build. And then just a bunch of really cool stuff in the bodybuilding section to make sure that you're still getting a solid pump. So I'm super fired up for that. That's going to start May 13th. So if you're currently on the app, just finish out this cycle strong. We start May 13th. If you're not on the app yet, that's kind of the other kind of like date on the calendar that I think is a really, really good time to get started. So that's kind of my flex pitch, just because I'm super excited. And I've done a lot of reading and research and listened to so many podcasts to try and bring like my own spin to things that are clearly tried and true in the like hypertrophy and strength space. And honestly, dude, this has been such a fun project for me because I love obsessing about things and I love like deep diving and learning, and to like bring it to life in a way where I see people are following the program and seeing results just makes me that much more excited. Like I want to read more. I want to listen to more podcasts. I want to learn more because I want to make sure that this thing is still like super fun for people and driving results. So anyway, it's been fun. New cycle, May 13th. But yeah, I want to bring that up.
Dude, if you're not pumped up after listening to what Gabe just said, I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, the passion you exude for it is through the roof. And I appreciate it. We had a team call the other day, and one of the things that became clear to me about my, you know, the Train Hard Men's Club is just identifying a way to scale them and make them accessible for people. And the same passion you have for Flex, similarly, I have a similar passion for the Train Hard Men's Club in the way that I want more people to get together to do hard things, especially as men. Now, women should be getting together and doing hard things too. But here in the Bay Area, I've started with men really as a way to connect them. And I have to remind myself, like, what is the purpose? The purpose is to connect men through doing something hard, which has been around for decades and generations and will continue to do. And I feel like in some cases, many men miss out on that because of the way, you know, the world is these days. So we, every weekend for the last 31 weeks, every week, we get a group of guys and we do hard stuff. But this week in particular, I just put it up on social media on my stories. I put up exactly what we'll be doing. And I want to try and get other guys to then do that, right? So it's all body weight focused. We went over like a 5-minute warm-up, a strength-based like tempo 12-minute EMOM, and then into like a 21-minute more cardio conditioning EMOM. And every week what I'm going to try and do for this foreseeable future is put out to the universe like exactly what I'm doing, have it primarily body weight-based so that we could start encouraging other groups of guys to get together. So if you're listening to this, go back, check out my Instagram. I'll be putting it up there. We'll also be in the future adding this more into our app. But I think the body weight, it allows for less. It allows the Train Hard Men's Club to be what it's about, which is getting guys together to do hard stuff. As soon as we start making it fancy with all this gear and all this other kind of stuff, it adds a layer. I have all the gear and we've been doing this for 31 weeks. It's great. But sometimes all you need is a hill and just some body weight. So that's what we're going to be focused on for the foreseeable future there.
Dude, a hill. It's all you need, man. All you need is a hill. Dude, you do anything uphill, carry something, run sprints. It's still like one of the most brutal things you can do is just like run sprints up a hill. But yeah, man, I love what you're doing with Train Hard Men's Club. I was lucky to attend one of them. But what you've built, and also if people haven't checked out the videos on the Train Hard social channel with a couple of the guys from the Train Hard Men's Club that we interviewed, like if what Jason is kind of describing, and to be honest, what you're describing doesn't do it justice because you kind of have to be there and see it and experience it. But like these videos that we made with, you know, a couple of those guys is a great, great kind of like indication of how special it is, what you've been building. So if people haven't checked that out yet, definitely go over to the Train Hard Instagram page, scroll back a little bit and you'll see them. By the time this comes out, most of them probably should be out, but definitely like two or three. So definitely check those out.
Well, dude, as per usual, always enjoy having a conversation with you. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're still listening. Hell yeah. Go back, check the other episodes. whether it's with Gabe and I, whether it's with a guest, whoever. And you know, our goal with this podcast is to provide value for ourselves, provide value for others, have good conversation, level each other up, level up the community. And we're never going to talk about anything that isn't authentic to us, right? We're just going to share our lives, share what's going on, and try and be the best version of ourselves. And I hope you're doing the exact same wherever you're at in the world. If you could leave us a rating, leave us a review, share episodes that you find impactful with your friends and family, that's our ask. And we'd really appreciate it. Any kind of closing remarks there, Gabe?
The podcast email that went out today, I mentioned this and I just want to reiterate it. Like, I've gotten so much from this show, like so much from the conversations that you have, we have so much from the guests that we have. Like, I'm selfishly like, dude, the fact that this is quote unquote what I do for work is I'm beyond lucky. But yeah, man, these conversations are awesome. And if anyone feels the same way, like there are other people that can benefit from this stuff. So please, please share the episodes. It helps the show. It helps get this stuff into more ears. So we appreciate it. But yeah, man.
All right. Well, on that note, keep getting after it and see you guys again next week.